The epistle appointed for this, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you, for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, because in everything you have been made enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness to Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace, while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also keep you secure unto the end unimpeachable in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. And behold, they brought to him one paralytic lying on a pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up thy pallet, and go to thy house." And he arose and went away to his house. But when the crowd saw it, they were struck with fear, and glorifying God who had given such power to men. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you, for the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. In the epistle this morning, St. Paul is reminding his converted Corinthians how important it is to be in the state of grace and to try to work to keep themselves in the state of grace, being reminded of our Lord's coming. So everything that they worked for has to be done for the love of the good Lord. And we too have to do the same thing, always thinking of it as our last day. How well are we in the state of grace towards God? And how can I maintain this state of grace? And of course, it takes effort. We have to do our part. But the thing is to have a constant remembrance and maybe fear of the Lord to help us to walk the straight and narrow. We know we don't know when our time is. Are we ready? To be in the state of grace, we always got to try to do our best working out the purpose why I'm here in the first place. I'm only here for one reason only, all of us are, is to know, to love, and serve the good Lord, and afterwards to be happy with him for all eternity. But the work is first. Rest later. In every day of our lives, we have an opportunity to improve ourselves, we have an opportunity to cooperate with the graces that the good Lord gives us, and not to be put down or saddened because some of us have to suffer trials and temptations so severely and wonder, when on earth am I ever going to get relief? But even there, our Lord answers this, because did not St. Paul kind of complain of the same thing? My grace is sufficient. Deal with it. And so how do we deal with it? Well, in the gospel, here our Lord presents to us the solution. And of course, it forms all its words around the sacrament of penance. Our Lord tells the paralytic, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee," which is a reminder for us always to make good preparation before we go to confession and to be sincerely sorry for what we have done, to confess our sins, to do the penance, but most important of all these is the last part, and to amend my life. And this is what's most important. This is the hard work, because we have to change. What good is a sacrament of penance if we're going to go there and just confess our sins? Oh, good, I got this all, it's all done over. And walk out of there and we do nothing. We don't make any change. The whole purpose of confession, yes, I know it's tough and some people, a lot of us don't like it. But our Lord institutes this. Why? Because he wants us to be humble like children. And what does our Lord say about children? My delight is to be amongst the children of men. So that's what our Lord wants us to be, like children. Children get in trouble, what do? They run to their mother or their father or somebody. Our Lord wants us to do that to him. We're in trouble, run to him. Every single time, run to him. If we have a doubt, run to him. He's always willing to forgive and forget. Look how simple it is with this man right here, who we didn't even know, but his mercy we can't even talk about. Take courage, son. The scribes and Pharisees were having a fit. You know, he blasphemed, only God can forgive sins. Well, then our Lord had to prove to him that he was God, as man. So, not only did the man get his sins forgiven, he actually cured him and go home to your place. And they were all shocked. And some glorified God. So, any scripture doesn't say that the Pharisees glorified God. They were quiet about that. But they too had to question, well, what about this? But our Lord wants to express his love for us. This is one way of doing it, in the sacrament of penance. He loves us so much that he will forgive us of everything and anything and everything. And it doesn't really matter how many times we commit it. But when we're sincerely sorry, we confess and we walk out of the confessional lighthearted and freed from a burden that's been bothering us. And that too is a result of God's grace from the sacrament of the act of the actual absolution of from the sacrament. It alleviates us, makes us stronger, wanting to go out and work even that much more harder for the good Lord. We always have to be careful, because sometimes if we're not too careful and we start leaning too far to the right or to the left, then we'll start acting that way. And pretty soon sin doesn't mean anything anymore. And we'll just accept it like any other ordinary thing we do in life. And we can't do that. Too much depends on our eternal salvation. Remember, in this life, we only have one shot at it. It's not going to be redone over again. One shot. You're either going to know, love, and serve the good Lord, or you're going to know, love, and serve yourself. That's it. Our Lord was pretty plain when he who does not follow me, or scatters a sheep does not follow me, or he wants our hearts, he wants all of us. Yes, in these days and times, I know it's tough. Man has lost sense of what is sacred, what is holy, but we got to do our best to try to keep that alive. We do this by staying close to the sacraments, by doing our best to offering up our daily duties, and persevering in prayer no matter what. We have to persevere in prayer no matter what. And don't think just because, well, I committed a sin, what's the point of praying now? Wrong. That's exactly what the devil wants, because he hates prayer so much. The right move is to continue your prayer and telling the good Lord you're sorry, and I'll take care of this at the proper times when it's time to go to confession again. But in the meantime, we continue on walking, working towards God as if nothing ever happened. This is the right move. So when we feel down and out, offer that up to the Lord too. Offer everything to him. Don't hold anything back. He wants it all anyway. He knows your hardships. He knows your trials. He knows your temptations. He knows everything. But in order to keep us humble like little children, we have to accept it. All of it, without any question. Whatever he sends our direction, we have no choice but to accept it. Because our Lord knows exactly what will purify my soul by this means. That's why it's so important not to fret away or be worried or scared of suffering. You have the greatest example right there. He did it for love. So we have to offer our sufferings out of love to him. And this also helps to remit sin, along with almsgiving and prayers and fasting. Yes. So take courage. Do your best to stay always in the state of grace. offer up your daily duties, persevere in prayer, because as our Lord said, those who persevere shall what? Shall get the reward. So we have to persevere no matter what. And always keep asking the good Lord for the graces that you stand most in need of, especially in times when we're having trials or temptations or whatnot. He wants to help. But lots of times we won't let him help because we think, oh, I'm unworthy. I'm just too impure. I can't do this. I don't want to bother him. No. Bother him. Bother him even more. He's there to help. He wants to help. He wants us to lean on him and depend on him. And the more we do that, the more closer we get to God. Yes, he might give us more trials, but the grace that comes from this is infinite. Comes from him. So always take courage. May God bless you and always keep us in your prayers as we always keep you in our prayers at the altar. May God bless you in the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.